Luke chapter 19, verse 1. Jesus and Zacchaeus, 1058. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through, and there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich, and he was seeking to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd, he could not because he was small of stature. So he ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was about to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today." So he hurried and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all grumbled, "He's gone in to be the guest of a man who's a sinner." And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, "Behold, Lord, half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I've defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold." And Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, since he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." Let's pray. Father, please help us as we look at your word to be shaped and changed by it. Please would we not shape and change you into what we wish you were, but rather would it happen the other way around, that you'd shape and change us into what you are working to make us. We pray that for your glory. Amen. Well, have you ever been lost? Have you ever been lost? The alpha males in the room will be immediately saying, no, never been lost. Might be slightly less certain about my geographical location at points, but never lost. Mary and I went for a walk in the Lake District when we were on holiday there a month or so ago, and after about half an hour of walking with a toddler through bogs, Mary turned to me and was like, Are you quite certain you know exactly where you are? And turns out it took us half an hour longer than I thought it was going to take to get home. We, and Phoebe especially, were half an hour hungrier and half an hour more tired, and it didn't work out quite as well as I'd hoped. Now, that's just me being a bit of a bumbling idiot. It didn't really matter that much. But sometimes being lost can be a lot more serious, can't it? Has anyone started listening to the Serial podcasts? Do people know about this? Or is it just me? Pete and Becca. Okay, this is... it's a journalist looking in at the story of... the first series looks in at Adnan Syed, a guy who's found guilty and is in prison, but she's trying to look into whether he's actually innocent or not. But the second series looks at a guy called Bo Bergdahl, who was an American private in the army serving in the Afghan war. And he's trying to pull a stunt, but he gets himself spectacularly lost in the middle of Afghanistan, walking off his base, and is deadly serious for him. He is taken by the Taliban and held prisoner for them, by them, for 4 years. Being lost for Bo Bergdahl was one of the most serious things that could happen to a person. Well, that's the kind of lostness we're talking about in this story here. Today, Jesus wants to talk to us about lostness. He wants to say, verse 10, the Son of Man, that's Jesus' name for himself. Points to his kingliness, actually, in the Old Testament. But he says, look what I've come to do. I've come to seek and to save the lost. The U.S. Army launched this massive search and rescue mission for Bo Bergdahl. And that's what Jesus says he's doing here today. The Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. A matter of life and death, a matter of eternal life and death. You'll see on the service sheet, on the inside, a little outline of where we're going. The first thing we see, verse 1 to 4, we see a lost one seeking. A lost one seeking. Zacchaeus is a man who is lost. He's a tax collector, worse than today's brand of tax collectors. In the Roman Empire, HMRC had privatized the tax department. So basically, people bid for the right to be the one that collects taxes. And into the bargain, they got the right to set taxes a little higher just to cover their own costs. This was MPs' expense scandal gone crazy. This is points just straight out theft with a superpower at your back. Give me the money or else. Zacchaeus is a bad man. This is a thief. I don't know what it would be today. Maybe he's the cowboy builder who takes the widow's savings to saying he'll fix the roof and then he leaves the roof half done. Maybe this is, I don't know, one of the bankers in the wharf. Back in November 2015, Barclays received a £72 million fine from the FCA because just a few of their staff had dodged all of the money laundering rules just because they wanted a bigger bonus. They were just allowing terrorism to be funded just to get their bonus bigger at the end of the year because they wanted those super rich clients, those politically exposed clients, as the FCA called them. These are bad people. Zacchaeus is a bad man. He's a lost man. That's why verse 7, all grumbled, he has gone in to be the guest of a man who is a sinner. How can Jesus go into that person? Gives a little, slightly different flavour to the word lost, doesn't it? So, me in the Lake District, lost, bumbling idiot, but innocent, bumbling idiot. Zacchaeus' lostness is very different, isn't it? It's a moral, culpable lostness. Lostness is being a hardened culprit in this story. Lostness is losing yourself in a world of self-service. We're so disorientated about right and wrong that we start to think it's okay to live for myself and to trample others down. So lost that love for neighbour has become an optional extra. And while for us here today the symptoms are definitely not as raging as they are for Zacchaeus, maybe the underlying disease is the same, that we treat love for neighbour and love for God as optional extra. That means that we are disorientated about right and wrong. Can we honestly say we've never acted like the role of others in life is to serve us and that the universe revolves around me? How we slightly manipulate the situation at work, how we slightly manipulate the situation at home so that I get what I want and others serve me. Zacchaeus is a man who's lost. And verse 3, he's a man who is seeking. He's lost, he's a man who's seeking. Zacchaeus is definitely seeking. Do you see that, verse 3? And he was seeking to see who Jesus was. He wanted to see him. Everyone wanted a piece of him. So the crowds, as the GB Olympians came back to show off their medals, everyone wanted a piece of it. That's what it was like as Jesus came to Jericho. And Zacchaeus, he couldn't see. He was seeking enough to not let that stop him. He was too small to see over the crowd, so he broke into a sweat to run on ahead. He scraped his knee as he climbed up the tree to look down and see Jesus pass by. He was seeking. But I put seeking in quotation marks because I think Luke wants us to see the depth of Zacchaeus' lostness. Compared to the blind beggar we met last week, at the end of chapter 18 of Luke, Zacchaeus, it almost feels like he's so lost, he doesn't even know how lost he is. He doesn't even realize how hard he should be seeking. The blind beggar was a model of faith. He heard Jesus was coming, and he was convinced of two things. He was convinced he was in deep, deep trouble. He was blind. And he was convinced that Jesus was the one who could help him see, and nothing would stop him. So he just started shouting out awkwardly loudly, "Son of David, have mercy on me!" And the crowd are like, "Why are you shouting so loudly? Just shut up, you're embarrassing yourself." But he's like, "No, Jesus is the one that I need to go to. Son of David, have mercy on me!" And in comparison, Zacchaeus' seeking doesn't look quite as committed, does it? He knows to look down, but maybe one of the things he's lost is a full sense of his own lostness. I'm not certain that's what's going on, but what I am certain of is that in Luke chapter 18, up to this point, we've met a lot of people who have lost their own sense of their lostness. We keep meeting, if you like, alpha males who don't think they need finding. So we met a Pharisee, confident in his own righteousness, looking down on others, convinced he had what it takes to be found, to find himself. We met a rich young ruler, convinced he had the morality to impress God. And yet Jesus kept saying, you know, you're lost. Do you remember Jesus tells the disciples who've got to die to save people from their sins, and the disciples are just like, they just don't get it. It's hidden from them. They don't understand. They're lost too. They don't know the depth of their own lostness, that they actually need their king to go to a cross and die for them. We've talked about a random podcast that no one had heard of. Let's talk about a film that maybe no one's seen. Inception. How many people have seen the film Inception? Yeah, okay, that's a better number. That's a better number. The film starts with Saito in oblivion, lost in limbo. The film turns out he's caught inside a dream of a dream of a dream. But the thing is, he's been lost in limbo so long that he's been down there so long that he's lost a full sense of his lostness. So Leonardo DiCaprio pitches up to rescue him. He comes to seek and to save the lost. And yet Saito, as he walks in the room, he looks up at Leonardo DiCaprio in a kind of, you remind me of someone, a man I once met in a half-remembered dream. He'd lost a full sense of his lostness. That's what I think Jesus would say to us, that we need to ask ourselves, have we lost a full sense of our own lostness? Maybe morally we think, could do better, but I've got a B plus. Well, Jesus wants to say, maybe we're more lost than we imagine. That we're not okay as long as we steer clear of big-ticket item sins, that our every thought of self-service, self-congratulation, self-adoration, the wonder of the God who is always perfectly loved, is offended by that. Have we grasped the full sense of our lostness? Jesus' realization of our lostness exceeds our own realization, and yet, that's okay, because Jesus' willingness to come and find you is greater than your willingness to go and find him. The lengths he'll go to find us exceeds the lengths we'll go to find him. So a lost one found is what we meet in verse 5 to 7. And we don't just meet a lost one seeking, we meet a lost one who is found. Jesus really seeks. Verse 5, Jesus comes to the place, he looks up, and he says to him, Zacchaeus. How does he know his name? Jesus knows this encounter, he's planned this encounter. Zacchaeus, come down, I must stay at your house. Jesus wants a more significant encounter with Zacchaeus than Zacchaeus seemingly wanted with Jesus. In fact, standing behind this calling of his name, this seeking is an even greater seeking than we could get our heads around. Look at verse 10. The Son of Man, Jesus, came to seek and to save the lost. The US Army launching this mission to seek and to save Bo Bergdahl, they just pour all of their resources in. It was almost the most that the U.S. Army was doing in Afghanistan in that initial period, as they poured all of their effort into finding this one lost person, never leave a man behind. People were rushing headlong into danger time and again, low on supplies, passing out in the blazing heat. Jesus launches this rescue mission for Zacchaeus and for people like us. The picture the Bible paints is, you know, it's almost of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in mission control, planning together how the Lord Jesus is going to come to earth to seek and to save the lost, planning it before the beginning of time that Jesus would come and seek and save. That's how committed Jesus is. He really seeks. He fully sees our lostness, and he fully sees our need of him. And he comes and he finds. What Jesus seeks, Jesus finds. Jesus poured his effort into seeking. He came to live in a world of living in poverty, living as a refugee on another continent, as he ends up in Egypt. He comes, he really seeks. And what Jesus seeks, Jesus finds. Verse 5, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today. So, immediately we sense Zacchaeus hurried, he came down and received him joyfully. Pretty much the whole US Army was out looking for Bo Bergdahl, but it took them 4 years, and only when the Taliban stepped forward and offered a prisoner exchange. Jesus' seeking is immediate. What Jesus seeks, Jesus finds. Now, if we were clear on how bad Zacchaeus is, maybe we're still sitting there going, well, how is this fair? How can Jesus come and call Zacchaeus and just act like nothing's happened? How is that fair? Well, two things we need to see. And before we come to see the change that Jesus made in his life, we need to see this. Word it like this today, Jesus finds as he is lost. Jesus is able to find people as he himself is lost. You see, it's not Jesus' life primarily that's the search and rescue mission. It's his death. Jesus at this point in Luke's gospel is on the road to Jerusalem. Jericho is his last stopping point before he gets to the last week of his life and ultimately his death on the cross. That night before he dies, you see Jesus just looking ultimately lost. The guards take him and they put a blindfold on him and they start hitting him from different sides. They think it's just such a joke and they shout, prophesy if you're God or whatever. Just, who was it that hit you? Got you again. They're just looking at him and they're just thinking, he looks so lost, doesn't he? He looked out there in the crowd. Like he knew what he was doing, knew what he was talking, but now he's playing in the big leagues. He's just a lost little boy. And yet, Jesus let that happen to him, that the Son of Man, this King of the universe, could go to a cross and hang there in shame, losing all of his dignity, losing life itself, to take what we deserve. We deserve to experience lostness into eternity, for the way we've failed to love God and love neighbor. And yet, Jesus takes that in our place. He will experience that at the cross, that we could spend an eternity finding life as it was always meant to be. I don't know, maybe you're not a Christian here today and you just want to look into these things more. Maybe you are a Christian and you just think, yeah, that is right. If you're like me, you'll think, oh, maybe I've just lost my sense of wonder at that. It's just very simple, isn't it? I'm lost. Jesus came to find me. I don't know what the little symptoms of that in our life. Just singing becomes a drudge, something we just churn our way through rather than a joy. What are the other symptoms? I've lost my sense of joy in serving others. I just clank through the gears of routine. I've just lost all too often the depth of my lostness and wonder at the mercy I'm shown. But as we see how Jesus can accept Zacchaeus at the cross, we don't just need to see the cross. We need to see this last point. Verse 8, Zacchaeus is not just a lost one found. He is a lost one reorientated. Radically reorientated. What Jesus seeks, Jesus finds. What Jesus finds, Jesus reorientates. You know, when you're lost, you're just all back to front. You don't know which way's which. In the lakes, I thought that that was the way to the hill we were looking for. It turns out that was the way to the hill we were looking for. I was all back to front. And yet, Jesus comes and he radically reorientates people and shows them the right way. He says, that's the way, not this way. Apparently, one of the problems that modern air forces have with fighter jet pilots is that they go through so many spins, so many backs and forths, so many ups and downs, that they can actually, especially in cloud, end up just flying along upside down for miles and miles and miles. And it gets very dangerous if they're a little closer to the ground than they thought when they pull what they think is up. And so they've had to install technology in to show them which way is up. We could talk about Jesus' reorientation that way too, that Jesus comes and Jesus doesn't turn our life upside down if we become Christians. Jesus turns our life right way up. Zacchaeus had spent his life upside down, thinking that life was all about serving myself, getting for me, 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 mine, 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 get, get. And yet Jesus comes, and look what happens, verse 8. Look at the radical reorientation that Zacchaeus experiences. Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, notice his emphasis on Lord, behold, Lord, sees Jesus as king. Half of my goods I give to the poor this moment. And if I've defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold. To see that Zacchaeus' life is turned right way up. God, he isn't in the get out of hell free card business. Jesus is in the business of finding lost people and radically reorientating them and changing them to be the people we were always made to be. The hymn goes, "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see." And that was right of the hymn writer John Newton. So John Newton was a slave trader. He spent life upside down, if you like, abusing people around him in order to get what he thought he deserved. And yet as Jesus changes him, life turns right way up for him. And he says, no, slavery is awful. I'm going to support William Wilberforce as he fights to abolish slavery in this country. Jesus is in the business of radical reorientation. Zacchaeus is here at this point in Luke as not just a model of Jesus' initiative to come and seek and save, but also as a model of what it looks like once you are saved, once you are found. We're pilots who've spent so long upside down, we don't know right way up. So this is really dangerous to apply as we come toward the end of our time, because we're not going to be talking about getting a better veneer of religiosity on our lives. We're going to be talking about just massive heart change. Do you know what's most challenging about Zacchaeus? That Jesus doesn't order him. He gets that Jesus is Lord, but Jesus doesn't have to say to him, look, sort your life out, give away your money, blah, blah, blah. Zacchaeus is just, he's so radically reorientated that he loves, he looks out and he sees the poor and he wants to help them. How we apply it, we can't be talking about putting on a better veneer of religiosity. That didn't work for the rich ruler. He had the best veneer of religiosity you could imagine. He looked this morally almost perfect guy. And yet Jesus showed him as he peeled back the veneer what was really going on in his heart underneath. This is about heart change. Jesus wants to reorientate us so much that our genuine greatest delight is serving other people. I feel challenged and rebuked by that as a line, because that is not the thing I take my greatest delight in. And if you're honest here today, Hopefully you can see the same. That's not our greatest delight, and yet that's what Jesus wants to do in a person's life. What did Zacchaeus give up to live this right way up life? I mean, how do you successfully give away half of your money and pay back fourfold what you stole? You've got to get rid of pretty much everything, right? The holidays turned into staycations. The car got radically downgraded or went altogether and turned into a bike. A pedal bike, that is. Just desperate to give. Out with the pension planning. Desperate to give. Because he was desperate to love and serve others. What would it look like for our lives if we were to live serving colleagues at work, if that was our delight? Our delight was to serve others at home. If living to serve our society, our world, the poorest of the poor, was our delight. If living to serve our Lord and Savior was our delight. If living knowing the greatest love you could ever show your neighbor was to introduce them to Jesus, that they could be found by Jesus too. What difference would that make? That's the wonder of the Christian message. It's just so freeing. Paul's talking about giving financially to the Corinthian church in 2 Corinthians 9. And he doesn't command them. He specifically says, I am not commanding you. I just want to see the sincerity of your love. God loves a cheerful giver. Give what you want, but want to give. We don't pass around a collection plate every week here at the Barge. That's deliberate because we're not after the kind of begrudging, jingle the plate in front of people's faces and just the, what's left in my pocket. We want people that live a radically wholehearted life. And people, it's amazing. I don't know the specific details, but Ulrika, the treasurer, says, there are people here giving radically generously. Month by month. That's what it looks like. What's the next step for you here today? Maybe you're not a Christian person and you're thinking, yeah, I know that I've sensed that right way up living is right. You know, that moment where you actually feel satisfaction as you have put others first, but you see moments in your life where you haven't done that, and you feel ashamed. Well, look at Jesus. Why not take away one of Luke's accounts of Jesus' life over there on the red table and have a read? Jesus, he finds people and he transforms people. Maybe you would call yourself a Christian. But you look at your mind and it's just full of me, 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 mine. Let's just give Jesus the space, if you like, that we would get to know him better, that he would transform us more fully. Maybe Bible reading for you or church attendance for you or prayer life. It's very perfunctory. Doesn't happen very often, if at all. Are you going to let Jesus speak to you through the Bible, through his people? Come to growth groups maybe when they kick off in September. That we want to be changed by Jesus. And maybe you're a more mature Christian, or as you say that phrase, you think, no, I'm not what I should be. But in your better moments, you want to live this radically reorientated life. Well, there's such encouragement in this passage that if you want that is exactly what Jesus wants for you. And that is exactly what Jesus is working to achieve in your life. Pray for it and trust and work with all his energy that so powerfully works in you toward that goal. stay on track, pray. And lastly, I think we can't not make this point from this story. Let's not take radical off the table as an option for life. Look at the radical nature of Jesus' response. Radical is the only obvious response. What would it genuinely look like radically for you to live a life serving others? What's the radical thing to do as, I don't know, you get the inheritance from your parents, or you get the big jump in salary, or the bonus, or your mortgage company say, here, you can have a massive equity release if you want it. What would it radically look like for you to live to serve others and ultimately to give others a chance to hear about the Lord Jesus too and be found by him? Well, let's pray. Father, we admit ourselves to be people who've spent so much time in life living upside down, living like it's all about us. We sense your spirit at work in us, calling us to right way up living. Please transform us. Please change us. Please make us people that love to give. We praise you so much that you've found us. Please help us see our lostness and the wonder of the way your son's come to find us. We pray that for your glory. Amen.